Chapter 11, My Boring Childhood. You're travelling through a portal to a wondrous realm of boredom and unlimited 2 megabit internet access. A road warning appears. It's the year 2003, and I'm a blossoming 12-year-old boy with a moustache. I'm smiling, and I've locked all the doors behind you. Anger was the main thing. I wasn't constantly angry. I was usually calm, but I could be triggered. I became quite aggressive at home during my teenage years. I would become angry at the most trivial of things and try to dominate in conversations. I frequently argued with my parents and brothers.
This is edible.
For fuck's sake.
This publication contains the opinions of...
Yes, it does contain the opinions of someone. You just ruined my fucking recording. I don't believe in edits, so let's continue. Anger was the main thing, but I wasn't constantly... I once made my brother cry on his 11th birthday. My father asked me in the car how I could do such a thing, and I just kept talking. It amused me, and I took no stock of anyone's feelings whatsoever. I don't remember what we were talking about. I remember not caring at all, and I would just keep talking. And then I was made to stop talking. I became annoyed about that, and I paid my brother no mind at all. He deserved to cry, I thought, although again, I do not remember what we were arguing about. I did not merely become angry. I often reduced my opponents to tears, wearing them out entirely so that they no longer wished to argue with me. And this also burned me out, which served to further fuel my anger. I would release it further as time went on. The cause of my anger was never quite clear, though. I would rarely even remember the discussion afterwards. I would simply express great anger, dumbfounding everyone. My dad sometimes told me that I was essentially Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I rarely exhibited such anger outside the home. Outside, I was generally quite meek. I was also quite meek inside the home most of the time. Most of the time, I was well behaved and I just do my things. I was a compulsive liar, but it's not like every sentence that came out of my mouth was a lie. I usually tell the truth, but sometimes I'm just bored and I lie on a whim. I told a friend when I was about 10 that he couldn't come skateboarding with me. I didn't even have a skateboard. In 2020, when I was 29, I tweeted once that I visited North Korea. I've never even set foot there, but the post was retweeted roughly 5,000 times. I love lying. I once bragged to a group of friends at a social event that I once seen my dad completely smashed at a party. I think I was about 14 at the time. And that he'd done all sorts of things. I no longer remember even what I said, but I put on a convincing performance. My friends laughed. My dad never drinks. Like, come on. I once told my classmates that my dad, I was about 12 or 13 at the time, I was in class, I was in music class, and I told my classmates that my dad had once killed someone via electrocution, accidentally, in his job as an electrical control room operator, switching high voltage lines on and off so that the workmen could safely enter a given work site. Yes, an accident had occurred. My classmates believed it, and a rumour had spread around the school. Of course, in school, it's like playing Chinese whispers. Instead of accidentally, it becomes, oh yeah, your dad killed someone. So a teacher actually pulled me out of the class to ask if it was true, which I obviously denied. And she told me that I should not spread such lies about my own father. I said it on a whim, lacking any ulterior motive. I was just some stupid kid. I was at a friend's house once, and I lied that I'd once been run over by a car as a child, pointing to a bump on the back of my head, which his mother, then felt with her fingers. She expressed relief that I'd survived without permanent damage, but the truth is that I'd simply fallen out of my bunk bed once and hit my head on the back of a wooden chair, and there was blood. But I suffered no obvious brain damage. I didn't even get it checked. Strange, that I didn't really have any problems. I didn't even plan my lies. I just make shit up on the spot. You know, I've still done this as an adult sometimes, typically in just completely harmless, like it's just pointless lies, but I do possess a vivid imagination. I always have. Lighting gave me a sense of calm, and I'd just say whatever I wanted. You know, it was a kind of freedom, because I had control of the truth. I didn't quite think of it so eloquently as a child, but that's how it felt. I enjoyed stealing as a teenager, and I'll get into this later on. I once stole £1 coins from the uniforms of every person in my class while loitering or pretending to read a book. I didn't even need the money. I just enjoyed the thrill. I was about 13 or 14. Most of my stealing was opportunistic, petty, and completely benign, but I did enjoy it immensely. We were playing a game in the dark once at a scout's camping trip. I was about 13 or 14 at the time, where one team had to defend a base from invaders in the other team. If the defending team saw you, you were out. If at least one attacker got to the flag at the centre of the base, the defenders lost, or all of the attackers would be found and the defenders won. I loved sneaking onto the base. The defenders would also walk around the bushes, trying to find you, so you had to sneak carefully. I thought of it at the time like a real-life version of the computer game Metal Gear Solid with me as Solid Snake. I would thoroughly enjoy getting to the base. I was good at it. Yeah, I was really good at it as well. I had my camouflage suit on and everything, so, you know, I played it on my own, though, the next night. I was hiding in some bushes. Like, we weren't playing it was just me. A group of some of the girls in our group were walking along a path, and I'd made some noises, but I said nothing. They stood silently in fear, asking who was there. They were flashing torches, but I was well hidden. I ran in the other direction, and they never saw my face. Yes, don't go out alone. I did work experience in my last year of secondary school and took the absolute piss. I did the job badly, took excess unpaid tea breaks, and skipped about half of it to alter one of. I skipped about half of it after one of my great aunts died of Alzheimer's disease. Grief was plausible, and no one questions grief. I started smoking when I was 12 because I was attracted to women who smoke. The sight and smell of it was just alluring, so I stole my mum's cigarettes and became quickly addicted. They quickly caught me, of course, but they obviously noticed that their cigarettes were missing. And I got the standard lecture about how bad it is to smoke. I mean, how does a kid actually buy cigarettes? They don't. I'd steal them. Not just from parents either. I remember being at a marriage ceremony once, and hundreds of us were packed into a dance hall for the after party. I just wanted one, and a random lady's purse was on one of the tables. Lots of people were watching and could literally see me, but I expertly crept my hand in and stole an entire pack, plus some money. The rush was exhilarating. I'd always enjoyed stealing anyway, but this was extreme. The rush was intense, and I felt calm. The rush from the next team was also quite excellent too, I thought, but I just felt good about it at that time. I was on a camping trip once with the scouts, and once just brazenly walked into the tent belonging to one of my camping instructors. I stole all of her cigarettes and walked away, quite pleased with myself. Not one cigarette, not two. No, I stole three packs, and now I can smoke. I actually got a rush from the thrill of it. If I'd ever been caught in any of these instances, I would have found myself in a lot of trouble. I didn't care who they belonged to. I just took every pack. Ditto smoking at school. You know, I often enjoyed the rush of that as well. Just the thrill of getting caught. I regularly stole, and I did get caught twice. I regularly stole from my parents, often £20 notes or more. I didn't just buy cigarettes, I bought computer games as well. I once bought a certain popular game owned by a highly litigious company about catching various strange digital creatures in tiny spherical objects, a new version of which had just come out for my portable handheld gaming system that was made by an equally litigious company, whose trademark I shall not name. I got it the day it came out, after I'd waited for months. You can't really do that anymore, because everything's digital now. You know, games are digital, money's digital, even shopping is digital now. As many parts of the UK no longer even have high street shops. You can't even steal a book now, because there are no bookshops, and libraries are shutting down everywhere. The kids in school now have tablets instead. Sad. Sometimes even sex is digital. One day, they will make air digital. I love computers, but I remember when things were tangible. The 2000s were incredibly based. I did get into a few fights in and out of school, but that's just normal boy stuff. You know, I tried to avoid fights in school because I didn't want to get in trouble. You know, I did enjoy it when I won, but I didn't want to lose fights, though. So I'd often avoid getting into fights in the first place. Violence gave me the same rush as other vices, but with more consequences. I was also quite meek physically, so it wasn't like I could just be the school bully or something. You know, there were plenty of other kids bigger than me, and some of them had older brothers, so I just didn't bother with violence. I often stole from friends, usually computer games. I just felt better if I didn't own it. I just liked the idea of depriving someone. This is actually how I framed it then. Now, so I was sometimes caught. When I was, you know, I'd just be annoyed that I'd have to give it back. Apologising could also be quite humiliating, but, you know, my dad literally told me at several points that I don't seem to have remorse because of certain things I did that will not be in this book or this audiobook. But suffice it to say, they were pretty terrible. He didn't even know the half of it. I mean, my mind was much more vivid than any physical activity that I could partake in, as the mind releases one from all our such earthly limitations. The thing about me, though, is that I knew how to be discreet. You know, I almost never got caught, and even when I did, I would often blame it on someone else, or someone would, or otherwise mitigate my actions somehow. You know, I never admitted guilt either, even when I knew that my accuser knew that I was lying. Like when I smoked in the toilets once in a church where we were staying in the scout on a scout's trip. The toilet was right next to where the dinner hall was, where we'd eaten, and next to the rooms where we were sleeping. So it was so clearly obvious that I'd done it, and you could smell it on me. But you know, I still said it wasn't me. I didn't think of it, nothing came of it. You know, I mean, he probably told my parents or didn't. Who knows? But nothing came of it. I had no shame in lying. It wasn't even like an embarrassment thing. You know, I just saw no reason to admit that I'd done it. Who was he to tell me what to do? I thought I was quite irresponsible as well. And not in a general sense, like when I was hiking with scouts, for example, I never wanted to be the one in the group to read the map or generally just help out when we got lost. I just sort of stood with the group, minding my own business as I followed them around. I once did try to guide a group and we ended up in the completely wrong town or the other side of the map somehow. Our instructors picked us up and we all had a good laugh after our blisters had healed. I'd kept telling the group that we were nearly there until they finally became overwhelmed with pain. I had no idea where we were going. We did pass my grandmother's house, but I didn't knock on the door. My preference would always be to just let other people take responsibility and everything. You know, I never really wanted to take charge in anything. This is especially true when I was responsible for others. I'm like this even today as I write this. You know, I generally just do not want to accept negative consequences in anything. If I can make someone else sort my problems out for me, I will. Even if someone doesn't want to help me, I can often just use their feelings to make them do it. You know, if they had pity for me, if they care for me, if they just want to help. I can often just do whatever I want instead of what I should be doing. You know, keeping to a stuck routine is difficult for me. Even if I had a deadline approaching or something important, you know, like paying bills. Like bills will... I normally pay bills on time, but, you know, often they'll be paid late just because I literally forgot. Taxes are usually filed on the deadline. They've been late once or twice. They're never early. They're always just on time, you know, always last minute. Before I launched my company, a friend once told me that I always seem to do the things that are fun first. You know, I never really wanted to do any of the hard work. He said that I take shortcuts and everything. The context here is irrelevant, but it's still true today. It's not that I cheat as such. I'm not even lazy. I'm always doing something. You know, most of what I do wouldn't even be considered relaxing. I don't watch TV, for example. I just hack on random, you know, computer projects, often just completely random ones. Often I'll find like someone's code on GitHub or something and start auditing it or fixing bugs or things like that. You know, I'm just always doing something interesting. I'm always doing something. But when I was in school, this would translate into going on random forums, for example, or just reading like a really nice book. Even if I had coursework, I got straight A's because school was easy anyway, but college was different. I failed nearly all of my classes in college. I passed in computer science because I like writing software. I got A's on my practical work in computer science, but I got a C in theory. I retook the theory exam next year, which got me a B. My A was in the practical exam was so high that I got a weak A overall. So, yet the practical assignment that I handed in was literally a fucking emulator. A computer emulation is not something that even most PhD students would try. Even people with decades of experience. I did that when I was 16. This required reading copious pages of documentation and understanding literally how an entire computer works. Actually implementing it is another matter. Emulators are hard. Computers are very complex machines. I could cite this and dozens of other examples, but the message is clear. I can work hard on whatever I want, but I find it hard to obey schedules imposed by others. It's the main reason I started my own business, so I could have more control over myself. My actual workload in my business is usually quite low. because I have a high profit margin, so I'm able to do like maybe 5 to 10 consecutive hours of work a week and pay bills. Most of my time is spent doing all kinds of other random things. You know, like I'll be at my office for weeks sometimes, and most of it is just spent on doing whatever I want. You know, I've got all my gear here. My actual workloads, going back into childhoods, let's just, if I entered the regular job market again, I think I might struggle, especially for complex jobs, despite my intellect and skills. I told myself that if this ever happens, I'd go on benefits or just do a really simple job like cleaning toilets. You know, I don't have like low depressive periods either. I'm usually quite calm. I'm usually doing something. I'm hyper-focused all the time, but only on what I want. I generally just do the minimum amount of work necessary for anything else. That's why if I ever like had to shut my business down or something, I wouldn't want to use my brain or do anything hard. You know, I'd just pick one of the easy jobs. And I was like that when I was at school as well. I was told in my late 20s, when we will go back into my childhood momentarily, I was told in my late 20s that someone in my year group had been beaten up his wife and his kid. His friends no longer talked to him because of this, but I knew why he'd done it. When he was younger, he was always the type to strive for everything, but he didn't have much intelligence either, so there was always that like resentment factor. He'd always become angry a lot, and he could get really aggressive. He was usually quite meek, but I'd seen him lash out at times. He'd sometimes release that anger onto others. I just simply extrapolated from that. You know, his personality and everything that I knew back then. I did not articulate this to my school friend. I gave the usual gesture of mild concern, you know, apparently horrified that he could have done such a thing, whilst internally rationalising his behaviour. I had absolutely no discipline of any kind as a child. As I said, I always hated being told what to do. The only reason I put in effort during secondary school was because back then, I believed the lie that getting good grades in school guaranteed a good income later in life. I learned quite reliably in my 20s that this was not the case, but back then I believed it. So my responsibility then was reward-based, not innate. I had no work ethic otherwise of any kind. I did get straight A's in school. I also once urinated on a classmate's uniform for, like, no reason at all during PE class. I excused myself to use the toilet, and I just destroyed his uniform. I had no idea whose it was. I just thought it would be funny. I had no idea how they didn't catch me. Maybe it's just too embarrassed and never reported it. I think they just implicitly trust teenage boys not to urinate on the uniforms of other teenage boys in a changing room during gym class. I mean, yeah. My general lack of fear manifested in physical and non-physical ways, even for the most mundane of things. Like when I was at a deadline approaching for something, I would just not feel the pressure at all. Sometimes I'd just enjoy the rush of completing something just on time, but I can generally just ignore deadlines. You know, if I didn't want to do something, I just ignore it, regardless of the consequences. Consequences are for other people, I thought. You know, if I can make someone else take responsibility for me or do something for me, I will. As I said, I've always been recklessly irresponsible in all things. I got a little bit more mature as I've aged, but, you know, I'm not necessarily lazy. I just want to do my own things. You know, I've got and not have to deal with anything else. I've always been like that. Adulthood imposes the necessity of responsibility as a matter of survival, but even there, I do as little of it as possible. You know, I just laze around at will. Like, I'll do the minimum necessary work to survive. Like I said, though, you know, I was mostly just a normal kid. You know, I had no frame of reference, though, because no one ever told me that what I did was wrong or weird. No one knew what I did. I was really discreet when I was a kid, and I was well behaved at home. Verbally aggressive behavior notwithstanding. I was a teacher's pet in school. I would often pretend to be ignorant or naive about certain things. I did this intentionally because it was a useful defense. You know, whenever something did happen, I could quite reliably deflect blame away from myself because no one would believe that I'd done anything. Most of the stuff that I did was solitary in nature anyway, and, you know, obviously it was quite childish, but I was also mostly a loner in school after about 13 or 14, it is. But I collected a reward for getting straight A's in my exams, and I had my photo taken shortly after leaving secondary school. On the day my dad and I passed a fellow student of mine, she was crying into her mother's arms with a teacher present. I walked straight past the girl. I didn't even say anything. I didn't even notice that she was crying. I mean, I saw that she was in her mother's arms, but, you know, I didn't think much of it. My dad stopped me, asking me if I had any feelings for this girl whatsoever. Like, he himself had asked what's wrong to the girl. She failed her classes, and now she was worried about her future, you know. Like, she'd been pregnant at school when she was 13 or so, and she missed about a year or two of school. all I thought at the time was that she's just a fucking loser. That's what I thought. I mean, my views now are a little bit more nuanced than that, but that's what I thought back then. You know, as for computer games, I stopped really wanting to play them at people's houses after I was about 13 or 14 or so. I had a PlayStation at home with a CD burner, and you know, I had a mod chip installed, so I didn't need people anymore. I became somewhat of a loner from about that age onwards. That was basically all I ever did at home from then on. You know, either that or I'd read. I loved visiting the library, for example. The school itself also had an excellent library of its own, in secondary school, that is. I remember my dad, he'd berate me sometimes for, like, not going out with friends that I didn't have, mostly. I told him plainly in the car that I just didn't want friends. Like, he just stayed quiet after that. One of my friends did visit me once to tell me that his mum had died. I was actually annoyed because his mum expressed such sympathy. And I just didn't know how to act in this situation. Like, I noticed that I just didn't feel anything. I knew he was upset, but all I remember, I just kept thinking about when I was at his house playing games with him. He always had the worst games, the worst taste in games. His parents were really strict. He was quite annoying and pedantic all the time. Yeah, she died of a stroke, sitting in her armchair. And he found her, you know, he dialed 999 out of panic. He just left. You know, I immediately went back to my room and I did whatever the hell I was doing that day. I never followed up and I never spoke to him again. I didn't even think about him. One of my little brothers was arguing with me one day. I don't remember what the argument was about. I think I was about 13 or 14 at the time, maybe 15. Yeah, I think I was about 15 at the time. But the crime he committed was to insult both my intelligence and my ego. What he actually did was probably quite minor. I know that much. I poured an entire carton of milk into a cupboard in his room containing his schoolbooks. Most of them were destroyed, and I felt complete calm while doing it, almost like a catharsis. And I just felt relaxed. My entire family, though, was furious. They called it completely deranged. I never did tell them why I did it, because I didn't know. I just did it. You know, it happens because of the argument we'd had 3 days after the argument had ended. I think I wasn't even in school then. I think I was like 16 or 17 or something then. I may even have been older. I don't know. But I was, another example, I was 13 once. I was sleeping at my grandparents' house. My parents had gone out somewhere with my two little brothers, so I was there for the weekend. I enjoyed spending time there as I just got a new game for my PlayStation 2, which I'd hooked up there in the room they gave me. My grandmother she drove me around that day. You know, she took me to nice restaurants, and she also bought me another computer game that I wanted. I was amused when we got home because she told me that it was the first time that she'd driven in like over a decade, and she just wanted to entertain me that day. You know, we went everywhere. I discovered masturbation during that weekend, but that's not the juicy part. Though I did imagine myself with a vagina for some reason, which I thought was quite strange back then. Weird. No, the weirdest thing was when I broke out of a house. I wanted to smoke and I had my cigarettes with me, but I knew I'd get in trouble. You know, I reasoned that it'd be best to do it outside. So I went past the room quietly. I had to be really sneaky. There was a window to the back garden that I could open. It would only open slightly. It was the type that slid up and down. It was partly broken. It made a lot of noise. Like, it was a really noisy window. So climbing in and out of it, I was hyper aware the whole time, knowing that I could wake him up. So I had to do it really slowly. But I was also calm. I found that the act itself of sneaking in and out made me happy. Like, it just made me feel good. I felt a mild rush breaking out of the house and then sneaking back in like a burglar. I just stayed up most of the night playing on my PlayStation at low volume, sneaking in and out repeatedly. I did this every night while I was there, and I just throw the butts into the street, obviously. I can recount many other instances like that where I enjoyed sneaking. Like when I sneak off from camp in the scouts or sneak into places. You know, I found it made me calm. It was the same kind of calm as when I lit a campfire once. And I'll get onto that in a little bit. When I stole things. You know, I was never really, I wasn't violent as a kid. But, you know, beating up someone in a fight did something similar with the added rush, knowing that the other kid would fight back. You know, like outrage. When people were angry with me or something, when people were angry with me, that also gave me a little bit of a rush. I had no idea why these things made me feel good. It just did. I just did them. I just knew that they felt good. Especially that scene in the changing room, for example. I was grounded once. I actually didn't get grounded much. Most of my childhood was normal. I was usually well behaved because I had excellent parents. You know, my parents were really good. I wasn't, like, you know, neglected or abused or anything. I never got up and thought about doing crime or breaking rules. Whenever it happened, it was impulse. When a given opportunity presented itself, usually when I was outside the house with, like, certain other friends. Because, like, my parents were just really good, like, but I was extremely impulsive. Like, once I was out of that routine, out of that environment, I was extremely impulsive. I'll give you one example. This isn't actually written in the book at the moment. I'll add it later. My town is like underwater. It's got seawall defenses. It was converted from like marshlands hundreds of years ago, and there's parts of the town that's still marshland, and there's mud that's like quicksand. Now if the tide comes in and you're standing in it, you're gonna drown. So me and my friend once, we were just daring each other to just like play in it for hours and hours, and we literally could have died. I didn't even think of it back then. You know, I was just like doing it, and we came home muddy, and my mum had a right go at me because she said, "That was really dangerous what you did." And I was like, but I'm fine. You know, I didn't think of it. Yeah, I mean, countless other examples like that. Anyway, I did escape once when I was grounded. I crept quietly out of my parents' house on a summer day and mounted my bicycle. I'd stolen some money from my parents and I just went out for the day. I felt amazing. I don't really remember what I did. I mostly just went out shopping, smoked, and generally met up with some other kids from school. Just random people, really. I was at the lake at one point, and my dad was on the other side of it. He spotted me. He shouted my name, and I laughed. I just, like, we were playing in a park or something, and I sped off. Neither of them saw me all day. The act itself of escaping and being on the run, as I thought, that's what felt good. I was properly disciplined when I got home. My pupils were also somewhat dilated. I did become a loner later in school, although I did talk to classmates, and I did visit people's houses. But I was also a nerd. Other kids at school always thought I was a bit meek, like, because I'm just drinking my coffee. Yeah, I was actually like a bit meek at school, like, because I had all these tendencies, but I was mostly well behaved, like, during my childhood and teen years. I acted out every now and then, but, you know, most of the time I just did what I was told. But there was one time in PE class, we were playing football outside, and my PE teacher was being an asshole. Like, he was just, no one liked him, and I was just really angry with him one day. He just got on my nerves, and I threatened to kill him. I didn't literally say, "I'm going to kill you." But I said it in so many words, but I made some vague reference about finding out where he lives or something. He said, "Are you threatening me?" And I simply said, "Yes." Then he said, "Get out of my sight." I felt the adrenaline, like dopamine, you know, a rush, a warmth, and I just walked away. And I don't even remember what I said. I do remember reading a book, so I probably went to the school library or something. Like, I just wandered around the school. My classmates were completely flabbergasted, saying something like, "He just threatened, sir." I mean, we were teenagers, so I wasn't angry at the moment I said it. You know, I was angry, but then I just said it, like, just on a whim, and it made me feel good. I don't know why I was happy, or I didn't know back then, that, you know, I was just thinking about everything, literally anything else, and he was just being an asshole. He kept telling me what to do, and I wanted to just stand at the side. I didn't want to play football that day, because sometimes I just, like, stand at the side and just not do anything. Anyway, I felt no guilt about what I said, and I didn't even have an intention. I didn't even plan to do it. It just came out. I just said it for, like, no reason. I sensed, though, that something might happen, so I went back to his office on a whim during lunchtime. One of my friends was outside and heard the whole thing. I confidently stood over him and apologized, saying this and that about how I knew what I did was wrong, I was also annoyed, but I had no excuse, usual stuff. I didn't actually feel any guilt or remorse about what I'd done. I felt rushed there too, because the teacher also, like, did have power over me. Like, he could report me or anything, which is why I apologized. I just sensed that it would be the most logical thing to do, and I wasn't scared during the day before this. But the thought crossed my I didn't even, like, plan to do it. I walked past where the building was, where his office was, and I just thought, on a whim, yeah, let's do it. He tried to interrupt me several times, which also annoyed me, while I was trying to apologize. But I paused. I knew to pause meekly, knowing that it'd be better to just keep my mouth shut, you know. But when I was done, when I'd finally managed to get the words out, he said, okay, you've been a man and you've apologized, so my talk with the head teacher will not happen. I left the room feeling like I'd just gotten away with murder, and I bragged about it to my friends for the rest of that day. My classmates did not think I was meek when I won in a fight. I rarely engaged in violence as a premeditated activity, but I did sometimes fight other classmates when challenged, as boys often do. I once offended someone and beat the absolute shit out of them. He came back with an army of his friends, and before I knew it, I heard the words fight, fight, fight. I knew violence was risky, but I indulged myself in this instance, whacking him repeatedly, blocking most of his attacks. I just wanted to finish him. I just enjoyed it. One of the teachers eventually broke up the fight. I felt much more intense euphoria in that than in other incidents. While I pushed him into the bike racks, it was fun. I enjoyed punching him. I just wanted to end him. I didn't get punished much. Like, I just did detention or something. He was also a little bit bigger than me. I enjoyed the admiration of his friends afterwards, who were much nicer to me after that. Violence is stupid, though. Like, I knew at that age it would be too risky to just do it all the time, so I generally avoided it. But I did enjoy it when it happened. You know, it was just, like, opportunistic. I understood violence, though, inherently, as a teen. There was someone in my year at school who would always become angry with everyone. He was extremely aggressive, impulsive, undisciplined, and he was going into trouble. Very much a low-functioning person, you could say. He was also charming, and he had a lot of friends. He was the sort of person you didn't want to mess with. Like, he seemed to actively delight in inflicting pain on others. He was extremely sadistic. He was also reasonably intelligent. He didn't really apply himself well in school, though. Like, he constantly got in trouble with teachers and everything. He got suspended a lot. Extremely charming. He got all the girls. Like, proper bad boy. He was the one they wanted. You know, it's biology. I mean, I'm pretty sure some of us just want to like bastards. The only difference with me is that I was not violent. I had violence in me, in my mind, but I was never really given the opportunity vis-a-vis upbringing and environments in which to develop it. You know, I regarded violence then as something undignified, because it shows that you have no control. Like, if you have to use physical violence or the threat of violence, it shows a general lack of intelligence and planning. I just always used my mind, and this is how I thought back then. You know, I just used my mind, and I had a lot of discipline even then. I sometimes did very strange things, always in an opportunistic context. Again, never premeditated or just general routine. I generally avoided him. You know, he was in some of my classes, though. He would sometimes intimidate me because I was the loner in the class and the nerd. I didn't mind letting him read my notes so that he could, you know, pass his class. He sometimes tried to insult me, but I didn't really pay much attention. Him and his friends, you know, verbal insults, as they say, sticks and stones. What's the point in bullying if all you're going to do is insult me, right? He did approach me one day, though, outside of maths class. I had no idea why, but I think he just wanted to say hello or something. That's what I thought at the time. He just stood in front of me with my back to the locker, staring at me in the eyes, like proper baddie. Cold, dead eyes. I stared at him too, completely undeterred. I even smiled at one point. I did feel the adrenaline start a little bit. You know, I mean, I sensed that maybe we were about to fight or something, but it was just weird. You know, I just stood still and just looked at him. Eventually, backed off. I didn't really think of anything of it. You know, he just became bored and we went to class. One day, I was in one of my proper moods though, and he wanted to see my book. I said no. He started wrestling me for it. I just wasn't giving him my book. I was in a serious mood that day, and we just started fighting. You know, I think he was just annoyed with something else. I don't know. But I managed to push him to the ground, which made me laugh. But he was three times my size, and he knocked my lights out. I woke up with a split upper lip and required stitches. No love lost. There was a scene in which we were walking to the headmaster's office, and also to the nurse, because I needed to get stitches. I wasn't actually, like, I was obviously, you know, I just woke up from what was a short coma. You know, I was a little bit lightheaded and everything, but one of my teachers walked past, and I knew instinctively that I was supposed to, like, cry an outburst or something. So I don't remember what I said. It was something stupid. Anyway, because I wanted everyone to feel sorry for me. After that incident, like, a lot of people just came up to me and said, oh, you always, we feel so sorry for you, and blah, blah, blah. And I found it annoying, actually. My parents would come to the school, for example, because I was in art class after school art sessions. He was hanging around outside once, and my parents saw him. And they came into the school to, like, warn me or something. And I was like, I'm here. What's he going to do while I'm here? Anyway. He was suspended, of course, and later expelled when he beat up a 12-year-old. He would always laugh when he beat someone up, including 12-year-old boys. He would, or when he tormented people. As I said, he was extremely sadistic. Like, it was just, he just had such a stupid and undeveloped mind. The violence itself, though, did not concern me. I mean, obviously, I didn't want to get beat up myself, so I was a little bit wary about that when I was around him. But, you know, I just saw what I thought was a very stupid man. He gave in to his anger, believing it to be a source of power, as he controlled others with it, especially with the fact that he was actually violent. That kind of control, though, is illusory and fleeting, and I thought in these terms then as well. You can't truly control people with fear or physical violence. The reality or the law will always catch up with you. I read a news story about him a few years later. This was long after we'd both graduated, where he'd been arrested and imprisoned. He'd been abusing a woman even after he broke up with her, and she was terrified of him. One day she was eaten, and he kidnapped her outside a restaurant. He was driving around in his car, and she kept trying to crash the vehicle and escape. At one point, the vehicle did crash, and she fled. This is all over in the news report. He was arrested the same day. He got about 2 years in prison, I think. I understand precisely why and how a person like that would be driven to such violence, and why they would behave like that in general. I knew the man growing up. I knew what sort of family he came from. You know, he was never given a chance. He simply gave in to all of his most animalistic impulses and became the least useful version of himself. Like, those people are easy to control. People like him are easy to control later in life. Like, he was also a drug dealer at one point and becoming imprisoned, but that doesn't bother me either. I remember him, though, from when he was a child, because, you know, he was all right. I used to play with him when we were in primary school. He was nice. You know, his environment, that's what made him violent later in life. My environment couldn't have been more different. I had loving parents and a stable home. I was given books. I was encouraged to pursue intellect instead. I otherwise had the same rage he did. That part is innate. I understood him instinctively. When I watched him rage, the way his mind works, I understood. Just automatically, I understood that rage. That constant need to control others, especially when they behave unpredictably. To be clear, because I want the reader to be fully cognizant of the point in which I'm trying to make. Yes, I understand the mind of a violent abuser more than I understand the mind of the victim, although I myself am non-violent, and mostly always have been. I'm not violent, but I understood him more. Weird. And I knew this even then. Reading about him reminded me of my relationship with my former girlfriend. Again, restraint. I was never physically or emotional. I never physically or emotionally tortured her or anything. You know, my only crime then was being emotionally negligent. I just didn't care. I just didn't invest in her emotionally. I'd leave her alone all day, and I later cheated on her. You know, but that urge, though, what reminded me, though, it was the control. You know, the man was a control freak. Even when I knew him at a young age, he just could not tolerate other people around him, and he tried to control them. I understand, and as I said, I understand that need for control and the frustration when people behave unpredictably. Back then, I thought I was just a robot. You know, I was constantly bored most of the time. Even in situations like this, like when he hit me and when I came to the ground, I just took it in stride, you know, like even when I knew, oh shit, I'm about to be punched. Like, I was just standing there like meek, and I was ready to continue, but you just caught me off guard. Anyway, I went on as though nothing happened. You know, I was mostly just a robot at school, composed. I actually did have emotions, like laughter. Like, if we watched a funny film in class, for example, I'd laugh. My chemistry teacher once put Borat on because it was the last day. My classmates told me that I laughed like a girl. Then I discovered the internet. I generally abused forums on the internet, and I learned all kinds of psychological tricks that I would later just use for fun. I would find targets, often the webmasters themselves, and terrorize them. The internet granted anonymity in a way that the physical world did not, and I felt that it was the perfect place to hone my skills. I found it strange that I could do these things. I regarded it then as a superpower. I didn't know why, but I knew I didn't feel guilt. I also read Einstein's theory of special relativity. I was also a nerd. I regularly abused people online as a teenager. There was a popular forum that I regularly spammed, engaging in all kinds of extreme psychological attacks. The administrator was technically incompetent, and this was the early 2000s. Long story short, the guy shut his forum down, and I continued bad-mouthing him on other forums. Never even did anything to me. The other thing I enjoyed most on the internet was sock puppeteering. I would pretend to be all sorts of people, of all ages. I'd get to know someone, usually in an online computer game. I would insert myself into someone's life, extracting things from them, and eventually I would betray them somehow, revealing myself. It was a bit childish, I know, but I was a child. Their disappointment was something satisfying. I often pretended to be a girl. The thing I became good at was getting other people to tell me about their lives. I can befriend anyone, online and offline, and I can usually find out people about. My targets. People like to tell their story. You know, they like to be heard. People like it when you seem to understand them. Obviously, like literally every other teenager that was also like every other teenager that's ever used the internet, I did look up porn. Obviously, enjoyed it. There was one video in particular that I really enjoyed. I think I was about 13 or 14 at the time. There was a woman in the video. There's a woman in her office. She's just minding her own business, doing work. A boss walks in and just starts touching her, and she'd resist. She'd struggle as he took off all her clothes, slowly, throwing himself all over her, and I imagined I was her. I knew I was a woman then, only suppressing it later. I didn't say, I know I'm a woman, I just knew I felt like that. I had no vocabulary for transgender concepts and no concepts of transition, so I didn't think in those terms, but yeah, I'd imagine I was her while watching. All I knew was that I enjoyed watching a video of a woman being raped, imagining that I was the woman. So I often watch videos like that. I'd have dreams where I was the woman. It was obviously all actors, but, you know, I'd have dreams where I was the woman. Speaking of transgender people, I think one of my friends may have been trans too at that time. He once told me that he dreams that he was in Resident Evil 2 shooting zombies, and he was wearing a dress or something weird. Yes, the internet is wonderful. How nice. I could become quite hyperactive and just do really insane shit. Most of it I don't really even remember now, but it was always the same feeling. Like, when I got like that, it was just as though I'd left my own body. Like, everything was just happy, like I was in bliss, and I'd feel lightheaded. It felt amazing. The problem, though, is that I had extremely good parents, like, who constantly kept watch over me. I know, right? They cared too much about my personal safety, and they took an active role in nurturing my growth. I was well supervised in general by the adults in my life to the extent that I just never managed to indulge most of these passions back then. It was, ironically, burned out of me. You have been snatched violently, and it's now the year 2005. I am 14, and I have severe acne. Vandalism was never really my thing. When it happened, it was really just a spur-of-the-moment sort of thing, usually by accident. I did like fire, though, a lot. An instructor at my scouts camp, at a scouts camp once got really scared once when we made a campfire, because I was being a proper nutcase that night. I was extremely hyperactive, probably from consuming too much sugar or something, and I was just throwing like random things endlessly onto a fire, trying to make the fire as big as I possibly could. Initially, some of my friends also joined in, but they started to become terrified and asked me to stop, and I didn't stop. I just kept throwing more things onto the fire, as well as several flammable items. The fire reached a height of roughly 10 meters, possibly more, and it was just becoming wider. I myself could have been burned. The fire was actually dangerous. The embers alone could have set anyone around it on fire. Like, I'm not describing simple, childish pranks. My friends were actually scared of me, and they called me a psycho, having initially believed it was a harmless prank themselves. They themselves had been laughing, but I just kept going. I was laughing maniacally while I did it, as though I was actually possessed. I still remember clearly how I felt. It's like when you kiss someone you really like, someone that you're really attracted to. That rush of endorphins and dopamine, the warmth, the lightheadedness of it. Like nothing else exists in the world. All I saw was the fire. It was such that I would just watch myself feed it, and I felt inner peace. I was like this with other dangers too. I mean, I enjoyed danger. I had no concept of safety when I was a child. They actually told me it was dangerous. And when they told me this, it surprised me. At no point did I actually think whether it was safe. All I saw was fire, which made me feel extremely alive. I just wanted more of that feeling, you know. Like I now know it was just pure adrenaline and dopamine, but you know, when I was 14, I just knew it felt good. You know, if I was alone, I probably would have burned the entire camp down. I enjoyed anything that gave me the same rush. This included rock climbing, for example, which I enjoyed specifically because I was otherwise afraid of heights. I mean, who wouldn't be? I enjoyed challenging myself like that. I was shielded heavily throughout childhood, so I was never able to become too reckless. I mean, the fire was a rare exception. Like I said, I was a boring child. I was mostly boring. Incidents like these were rare. The instructors came with buckets and sand to put it out, actually struggling to do so. From then on, I was no longer allowed around fires, or I'd be supervised much more closely around them. This actually made me sad and confused at the time. I have raped and murdered people in dreams, sometimes engaging in necrophilia within said dreams. I wake up wet, feeling completely relaxed. There is always a sexual component, although since gender reassignment surgery, my sex drive has been reduced to near zero, and these dreams have stopped occurring. I would obviously never do such things in reality, as it would not benefit me in any real way, but dreams release you from real-world limitations. I just do what I want in dreams. This might, and it usually is, it might be something as benign as walking. When I become lucid in a dream, I enjoy walking through walls and flying. Walking in dreams is extremely difficult, and it actually requires a lot more discipline than in real life. Because you have to maintain the physics as well while remaining lucid, I would normally just wake up, or I would lose lucidity as the dream continues. It's actually, believe it or not, it's the number one thing that I do when I become lucid in dreams. I just walk around my town, and the town is empty when I do this. There is never any people around. One of the strangest things about humans in dreams is how alien they look. When I become lucid and I'm aware of the dream, I look at their faces and other humans in the dream. They look like aliens. Their eyes and nose are all wrong, as is the general proportions of their bodies. They look like aliens from like Star Trek or something. The first time I had such a violent dream, I found it strange, but you know, I just went about my day. Sometimes I'm the one being abused in a dream. I had a dream once where I was kidnapped. This happened when I was in my 20s, although I had similar dreams when I was that age as well. I woke up. I was kidnapped in the dream, repeatedly kidnapped, and just they did all sorts of things to me. I would wake up multiple times in the dream, like false awakenings in the dream, and it would just keep happening. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I finally did wake up properly, and the whole room felt white. I was completely disoriented, but I just went about my day, you know. I am God, though, when I dream. You're now being dragged at great speed by rope from the back of my car. 1996 again, and I have a Sega Master System. I have Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Alex Kidd in Miracle World, Black Belt, and Bonanza Brothers. I had it until I was about 10, and I would always pester my mother to buy me a new cartridge at the weekly car boot sale. We weren't poor, but my parents couldn't justify buying a Sega Mega Drive, so my mother also played Sonic 2 while I was at school. 1997 now, I got Sega Saturn. I had Die Hard Arcade, Nights into Dreams, Sonic Racing. My father would play Daytona USA and Sega Rally Championship. 1998 or so, I got a chipped PlayStation. Didn't really work very well. The CD drive was a bit worn out. My cousin, though, he burned me some games. I loved Duke Nukem, Time to Kill, Medal of Honor, Doom, and Time Crisis. 1999, I had a handheld gaming system made by a highly litigious company. I loved playing on my turquoise machine, which took AA batteries, and I would play it in school. I had a strange game on it that had you catch monsters inside tiny balls. In 2001, I was annoyed when I couldn't watch cartoons. Cartoon Network was interrupted for the day by a global international news story about a burning building. All I knew then was that I was horrified because I wanted to watch Ed, Ed, and Eddie. I bought books. A Series of Unfortunate Events was one of my favourites. I also liked the kid in Artemis Fowl, his general intelligence and how he always seemed to have the upper hand on everyone. Even the fairy cops feared him. Throughout, parents would occasionally disrupt me from my games. I once complained that I'd be at my grandmother's house for a week. I asked how long we'd been there. I actually asked. I normally took my PlayStation with me and played it alone, but I didn't have it with me this day, and I was annoyed in the car. my dad was listening to the radio, but then we put his Libertine CD on. I took it out and I threw his CD out the window because my brothers were annoying me. I don't remember the context, but my dad actually stopped on the hard shoulder because his rage was so strong that it endangered his driving. He felt that he couldn't safely drive anymore. And this actually made me laugh, but they had a right go at me at the time. You know, nothing really happened though. I mean, probably just bought another CD or something. 2002, I have a PlayStation 2 with Grand Theft Auto 3, Metal Gear Solid 2, and my parents have just bought me a DVD of the new Spider-Man film starring Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst, released that year. And I watched it on my PlayStation 2. I was blown away by its fidelity over VHS tape on my 13-inch cathode ray tube television. That same year, my favourite internet service provider, Andrews & Arnold Limited, made IPv6 available by default for all customers, but I wouldn't learn about them until 2014. In 2004, my parents bought me a newer handheld gaming system made by the same highly litigious company. It had better graphics than the old one, but still could not handle 3D. The cartridges were smaller, about half the size, and it had a backlit screen. Throughout childhood, I went places with friends on my bicycle or in the car with adults. I remember one day I was catching crabs at the beach and accidentally threw the hook into my friend's leg. We all couldn't stop laughing. My mother tended to him. I loved playing games. I loved buying games for my PlayStation 2. There was an independent video rental shop where I would buy games for about £5 sometimes. 2005, and my mate Dave installed for me a PlayStation 2 mod chip so that I could download games for free, burning them to DVDs. He actually was called Dave. He ran a local video rental shop. I did buy, though, a copy of Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence. Hideo Kojima deserved every penny. Also 2005, my friend was on holiday and could not borrow his Windows XP disk. I installed Ubuntu Linux instead, using a CD that I happened to have, my first Linux distribution. In that same year, on the one day that I took a day off from school, where in assembly that day they had called me up for an award for perfect attendance, ironically, my dad bought me two DVDs, The Terminator and Planet of the Apes. I enjoyed both films. I liked fishing with my uncle. I wasn't actually ill that day. I called in sick. I just didn't want to go to school. I just took a day off. I liked fishing with my uncle. I once brought home mackerel for my mother to cook in our holiday caravan. Sometimes my father would take me and my brothers out on activities. I was once annoyed that he tried getting me to like the game of football. In 2008, I won £300 in a fine arts award ceremony, and I bought a PlayStation 3. I had Grand Theft Auto 4 and Metal Gear Solid 4. I also had a new console made by the aforementioned highly litigious company. It was controlled by a patented infrared device, and I used it to play Resident Evil 4. That console had the best version of this game, in my opinion. I played it on a large 30-inch cathode ray tube television with stereo audio and a composite video cable. In 2009, I got a job at college and I bought an Xbox 360. I have also bought a 26-inch LCD TV and an HDMI cable. There was a place that I would go to during the break to be alone in the woods to read or to smoke. I don't know why I went there, but it was peaceful, silence. One day, I masturbated there and nearly got caught. A man and his dog approached as it was quite secluded but an otherwise accessible public footpath. I felt quite pleased with myself and said hello to the man, having only just finished zipping up my trousers seconds prior. I had other hiding spots too. I'd also eat my lunch in those places. I just liked being alone. In 2011, I had some IT jobs and I bought a new PC. It still ran Linux. I just wanted a shiny new computer. I was fired from every job for gross negligence and quit the last one, leaving the boss to find someone else as good and cheap. As me to maintain my code. A victory, I thought. I did also steal from a few of my employers and sometimes masturbated at my desk when no one was around, but I already covered this in an earlier chapter, so I'm just reminding you that I was a bastard. I once fantasized about the boss in one of my jobs, along with his wife. Both lovely people. I liked them both, especially when I fantasized about tying them up to wooden boards. I'd force the wife to smoke or something and just feed them both, keeping them as my pets or something. Obviously, I'd never do anything like this in real life. My vivid imagination freed me to do as I pleased in my own head. Most of my fantasies, though, are quite mundane. Nothing like this. But I did like them both. Yeah, I didn't know that I was bisexual back then. In 2013, the LibreBit project was born, and I was still a bastard. I still am. How did I feel? Well, I felt like a normal child. How do you expect me to have felt? I'm me. I can't feel like anything like anyone else. I laughed and cried like any other child. I don't think I experienced what might be described as love then, although I did like my parents. They gave me things. They felt like robots, like everyone else, but these ones fed and clothed me, so I didn't always understand them, but they put up with me and enabled my intellect to grow. These incidents were just so, and the list I've provided is by no means exhaustive, no sir. I otherwise lived a normal life, quite comparable to any other child. I really don't know how else to say it. I became more of a loner in my teens, though, as I said, once I started to become intellectually and materially more independent. But I did still hang out with a few people. I did occasionally meet up with people in my late teens or visit family and such, leading up to my 20th birthday. I never really felt like I was missing anything then. I just lived my life, the best way I knew how. I mean, with the tools I was given. I can say that I was given excellent tools. I was often seen by others as chaotic and unpredictable at times, usually meek though. Other people would say that I was shy, although I could be charming when I wanted to be. Or I'd otherwise try not to bother anyone. I lived a peaceful, quiet life, and that's all I have to say. No more discussing my childhood. On Charm, for example, when I left school at 16, I did like a tour of a local university, like a computer science tour. We did like this stupid presentation thing. I don't even remember what it was now. It was like some program that we'd written in Scratch, and we had to like show what we'd learned or something like that. It's really stupid. I didn't care about the teams. Like, I didn't care much for my colleagues. Like, we were all like 16 or something. Like, this was like between school and college. I did an electrifying performance where I just came alive. Everyone in the room, including my dad, was surprised because I'd usually been quite meek. But when I want to, I can turn the charm on. It's always there. Anyway, that's, like I said, you know, peaceful, normal childhood. No drama. No more discussing my childhood. I was just a normal kid. You know, I just sometimes made mistakes. The difference, though, was not the mistakes made or a good decision made. The distinction here was my mind. I was social, in some sense, but the way I related to others then was completely different, and I knew this then. I had some sense that I was just completely different from everyone else. It was always transactional. Everything I did was a transaction back then. You know, I never really thought about people in any other way. A lot of children are the same, but they develop a deeper emotional connection as their minds develop. People like me, though, or I won't say people like me, I'll just say me. Like, there were a lot of differences then between me and other kids. Like, the differences between myself and others would become much more obvious as I aged into adulthood. I was happy, though, most days. You know, I was even relaxed, and I just, as I said, I just lived my life.